please, I'm trying to see a way by which I can rush these things and not read all the lines, all right? But let's just see our introduction. So I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to barbarians, that is all kinds of Gentiles, both to the wise and to the foolish. All right? He said, I'm eager to preach to you who are in Rome. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of that thing that I preach, the gospel of God. He said, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. As it is written, he was saying, he said, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by his faith. Now my teaching really takes off. Please listen to this. I've read that one so that we can quickly jump through it. Now, having greeted, and we have explained some things in the course of the greetings of Paul, Paul now began to explain that God is a witness that he wanted to come and preach the gospel to them also. Now, notice what he said, that he described God as one that he serves in his spirit. And the way by which he serves God is what? By the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, please, I want you to notice something here. There are so many things to say in those few verses. Now, one, please bear this in mind. It's for everybody's consumption. Now, when you use the word spirit, let me summarize it like this. What it means is, in summary, all right, the motivation for which you are doing everything that you are doing. Are you getting my point? Now, that is, his aim in life is to be of service to God. And the way by which he serves God, all right, is in the preaching. Please, my version is a New American Standard. So if it sounds slightly different from yours. He said, I serve God in the preaching of the gospel of his son. Now, I want you to understand something here. It is not everybody that serves God like that. Now, everybody can be a witness of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? But to serve God in the preaching of the gospel. Paul said at the beginning that he received grace and apostleship. That is, he was commanded to go and make disciples of people by preaching. And what he does is to serve God by preaching. You've heard me giving my own personal testimony. That many times in life, I ask myself, one man was here this evening, that guy who came to buy materials. He said that, okay, please, is this a church? I said, no. What exactly do you do? I said, I teach the body of Christ the word of God. He said, like Brother Billy, I said, exactly. Billy Akoni, all right? Is it like Brother Agbile? I say yes. So when do you do your seminars? You know, he was asking me questions. And then I told him that you can meet us here teaching so, so, and so, and so days. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I have seen that's my own assignment. My assignment, I serve God with my spirit, from my spirit, in the teaching of the truth of his word. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what I do. Now, there are people, listen, who serve God with their spirit in the creation of jobs for young men and women. There are people who serve God in their spirits, in the sponsorship of education for children. There are people who serve God from their spirit. Are you getting my point? In the promotion of health care for the whole world. There are those who serve in their spirit in the ministering of healing to those who are sick. Are you getting the point I'm making? You must understand this, that what exactly do I serve God in? Paul said, my own service is in the preaching of the gospel. He now said, now, there's another point I want you to understand. There are many things that we understand as we read Paul, because he had a lot of understanding. I told that he used to say many things while he's teaching. Now, notice this. Paul said that, I heard of your faith, if you read verse 8, and I pray for you. This truth I wanted to bring out, I will bring it out later. I want to get to maybe around the Ephesians, okay? And Thessalonians. Don't let me say too many things here. So we'll have other things to say in those other places. Is that okay? And because I want to jump to some other truth. Now, he was not talking about that gospel. Okay, let's just jump the fact that why he was praying for them. He said, I wanted to come and have... Now, notice in the next word, I want you to notice here. Now, Paul said he was praying that God would make it possible for him to come and see them also. He said because he had been praying to come, but up to that time, he had been prevented so far. In verse 13. That is, circumstances. It's not as if God just woke up and said, don't go. No, he will plan to go. Circumstances will make it impossible for him to go. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He will plan to go. It will become difficult. Maybe they don't have money or there was no transportation. So he said that he was hindered. That is, he was prevented. That's why he couldn't go. Now, he said this was the reason why he was under pressure to go. He said, I wanted to come and have fruit amongst you also. That is, I wanted my apostleship. Now, please get this point. My ability to create faith in God to also be manifested in your lives. Now, this is one thing about Paul. What he wrote in the book of Romans was what he wanted to go and teach them. And I'm persuaded that one of the reasons why God refused to let him go was so that he would write the letter. Because if he had gone, he would not have written this letter. He would have taught it to them personally. So because he couldn't go, he now decided to write to them in a letter. He now said, look, I'm under obligation, please notice this, to Greeks and to barbarians, that is, to the wise and the foolish. He said, because I am not ashamed of the gospel, I am eager to preach it. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, please notice this one. Though. This is where I'm going to maybe end what I'm teaching today. That the gospel, you know, you'll be hearing this one quoted for a very long time. I don't know whether many of us understand what he's saying. As we go on, we read the progression of Paul's thoughts. Let me just give us a rundown. Then I'll be able to explain what he meant by this gospel. Paul said, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. He was not describing how people fell away from righteousness, how they went after their own ways. Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll get there as we read. He said, you yourself are witnesses that having gone the way of everybody, all you reaped was destruction for your flesh. Are you getting my point? He said, the reason is because the wages of sin is death. Now, you know, those things are in context. He said, you guys are witnesses that having gone the way of the world. Now, you know, I'll give us some practical things, all right, as I go on. Maybe let me give an example. Ravi Zacharias, who I listen to a bit, and he encourages me to listen to him. He was talking about maybe Freudian psychology, talking about this modern-day psychology, talking about the modernity that you find in most of what we call developed countries, in which they have thrown away restraint on everything that is moral. Are you getting my point? Now, the man described once when they were talking about HIV/AIDS, that one of the big scientists said that it appears like after all the research has been done, you know, HIV virus is one of the most difficult viruses on earth. Almost every other virus has afflicted mankind, like HIV, all right? They've quickly developed vaccines after it. Since the knowledge of vaccination came by Jenning, all right? People have learned to quickly develop vaccines. Why don't they have vaccines against HIV? You know why? The virus is a mutator. Can I use that word? Vaccine is not a problem. Do it. Except that by the time you finish producing it, the HIVs in the society have changed color. They don't look like the one you produce a vaccine against. In fact, because when you are doing vaccines, you take a portion of the virus and stimulate immunity against that portion of the virus. Okay? That's what confers immunity. Now, even that portion you took, that same portion, even if it exists after, it don't change color. Before it was speaking English, now it's speaking Hausa. So after everything, the man said that it appears like until we find a cure for this virus, this scientist was talking, that maybe we should gently just believe in abstinence and mutual fidelity in marriage. Do you understand the point I'm making? Ravi Zacharias said, can you see? That what more does God have to do to explain to people that this is the truth about life? I don't know what I get my point. That a man came to the conclusion that the way we have lived our lives is killing us. It was from Ravi Zacharias in that message that I heard that, I think in Bangladesh, no, in Thailand, Thailand makes, I think, 30% of his GDP from prostitution. A huge amount of money, if not the major part. I'm not sure the figure, but a huge amount, you know. In all these white men, sexual tourists, they call them. They built an island where they dump people who already have AIDS, you know. They can't treat them, so they have an island. A big, instead of a hospital, it's an island. Now, listen. Ravi Zacharias said, listen to these people, though. After everything, it's still hard for you to accept that what you're doing is not right. That's what Paul was saying. Paul explained, we'll read down there as we're going, because like I said, if you read the thing in context, Paul was explaining that, listen, that is what is called the flesh. He said, the wages of sin is death. He said, you have practiced the works of the flesh and you have found out that it only produces for you what? Death. So he was now explaining, if we go back to where we are now, that I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God, all right, for salvation, to bring people out of the wages of death into life. That's why he said, as it is written, he said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall acquire life by his faith. I've explained this principle before, that he wasn't quoting, it was from Habakkuk chapter 2. He was not saying that the righteous shall walk by faith. We walk by faith. But as a result of walking by faith, what happens is that where death will have taken over in his life, life takes over. Are you getting my point? That is when the society, because of their licentiousness, have promoted the spread of HIV/AIDS. By righteousness, that thing will come to an end. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That's what Paul was saying, that it is the power of God. Listen, the first time I went to listen to my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Poju, it was because I went to eat somewhere, and I read an article that was titled, "The Gospel, the Light of the Nations." I read it briefly, and I said, whoever wrote this thing, please say he knows something where space, not Graham, download for here. So I came back another day. I found another one that was called Manna, the Food of Champions. You know, it was just this year I understood the meaning of manna, the food of champions. I thought I did then. I went to go and look for him. Now, listen to the point. When he said the gospel, now let me tell you something. Everything spiritual, all right, have physical manifestations. The fear of God. There's a book I'm writing. When I told my wife the title, she laughed. It's titled Worship and Sex Control. Don't fall down with laughter there too. You hear what I said? Now, no, that's the title. I will finish it shortly. Once I finish the one I'm working on now. But this is the point I'm making. What did I understand in the book? Incidentally, the whole book is founded upon this first chapter of Romans. Because Paul was explaining something. Let's read further down. I will come back and explain this. Let's read from verse 18. It said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now, this is what he was trying to say. That the wrath of God is why you need salvation. Are you getting my point? That is, the gospel is the power of God for salvation against the wrath of God. And this is why the wrath of God comes. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. He said, because what is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Now, please, because of time, I don't want to read everything. So, from verse 21, he was now talking about the fact that they refused to honor God or give thanks, and then thinking they are wise, they became fools. In 23, this is how their foolishness manifested. Please, notice what I'm trying to say here. First, in their hearts, they rejected God, though men had reason to believe in God. Are you getting my point? Let me explain what I'm trying to say there. That is, for example, any scientist, I was thinking about it a few days ago, that no real scientist who does not have the conscious thing in his heart against God can believe in evolution. Because somebody said it like this. You know what they call a junkyard? Let me tell you what a junkyard is. You throw old cars in there. Inside there, you find old carburetor, nobody so, old tire, old parts, old everything. He said, if a hurricane went into a junkyard, all right, you know, a tornado, spun everything around and left, that the chances of it leaving behind a brand new Boeing 747 by accident is higher than the chance of evolution producing an amoeba. No, all you need to do is study science. If I was reading somewhere that, I think it was in Encyclopedia Britannica. It was talking about a particular principle, or was it on TBN? I was watching it. That there's a law of science that says chance does not ever improve things. That is, we have found out that nothing improves by chance. And when I read it, I said, this is Bible now. The Bible said every house is built by somebody. No house comes by chance. Every house is built by some man. Every amoeba is created by some God. You get the point I'm making. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, men have to consciously do something to make them refuse to believe in God. Now, you may not believe in God because you don't know him. Because how can they believe when they have no messenger? Paul said it. If nobody comes to describe God to you, you will not know him. Are you getting my point? But if somebody comes to describe God to you, it is easy to understand him. Like when Paul went down to, was it Ephesus, where they were praying, seven, Athens, yes, thank you. When he went to Athens, he saw an altar to the unknown God. That is, the people understood that all the gods they were worshipping were not powerful enough to explain the principles of this earth. So they made a god to the unknown God. Are you getting my point? And that's the way life is. Look, life will let you know. It's part of the human soul. It's there that you must understand that there is something beyond the physical. You will have dreams one day and they will come to pass. And that will tell you that there is something beyond you. You've heard this story I've shared a number of times. One of my colleagues, when I was a house officer, he said he didn't believe in God. I told him, this, which is what I want to explain now, that don't lie, oh boy, that you don't believe in God. I said you believe in God. I said, the reason why I'm saying so is that, see, the reason why you claim you don't believe in God is because you love the deeds of darkness. And the moment you admit and acknowledge God as a person, you have to depart from darkness. So because of your love for the deeds of darkness, you profess lack of faith in God. One day he and I were now talking. He used to call me Blackie. He said one day, one of his friends came to him and said, let us go, please follow me somewhere. I want to go and see a white garment prophet. So he didn't think anything of it. So he went there with the guy. He said, now, the day before that, he had a dream that somebody died in his house. So he woke up from the dream. He didn't think anything about it, all right? He said, as soon as he put his foot on the threshold of that church, the prophet from the altar pointed at him and said, you, somebody's about to die in your house. Except you fast and pray for 3 days, the person is going to die. This guy turned to me and said, Blackie, I no go lie you, now worry boy, I fast. This is a man who told me he didn't believe in God. I told him, oh boy, I told you before that you believe in God. But your problem is that this guy will date a girl in the morning, give another one appointment for 2 o'clock and want to come and stay overnight with him. Now he likes to do that and he bragged about it. Do you get my point? He only saw women with one thing in mind, sexual immorality. So, you know, and so I need to tell him that that's your problem. And let me just say this. One of those materials I was telling you about, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I described this principle in there. What you do with your body, oh my God, it affects your ability to believe God. For a long time, one question was in my heart. If somebody obeys God, are you getting my point? Obeys the word, all right? Will he not get blessed? He will get blessed. I said, okay, so what is it that people preach? That Paul said that you must share every good thing with the person who gave you that word. You must honor the prophet. Ah, I said, so what is the power in it? Well, for a long time, I didn't understand until finally it clicked. Obey the word of God is simple. You know what I mean? In its result, if you obey it, it will work. But the question is that, can you obey it except you are empowered to obey it? Why did the widow of Zarephath believe the stranger who claimed to be a prophet that give me your food? Do you know how strange it is? A man comes to your house. Like I went to my friend's house, my office today. I said, I beg. I'm thirsty. Give me water. And I meant it. So he said, okay. He called one of the workers. Please come and open the fridge. Bring water out. The person forgot for a long time. Didn't come. So much later, I now said, where is that drink I asked for when I came? It has now become drink. No, so. So he now said, okay, will you like a Coke? I said, a Coke will be fine. And I said, meanwhile, please, bring meat pie where I go take chop the Coke. So, we turned it to a joke. Because I've been in the office for a while and I was getting hungry. Now, that was what Elijah did to a widow. Came and said, madam, I beg, I'm thirsty. If you find me something to drink there, the woman said, okay, some water coming up. And he said, wait, before you finish, just make small bread. May I take drink the water? I said, oh boy, I don't have food. My food is finished. He said, don't worry, that small one will remain. Give them to me first, then the food will never finish. What kind of joke is that? Only. Are you getting what I'm saying? That should be a natural response. You don't know him before. He's not the pastor of your church. And if he were, he's also, that one must you take my last food. Why did she believe him? That, you know, that's why I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. What am I trying to explain? When I'm discussing that one, the details. The point I'm making here is this, that because people love the deeds of darkness, are you getting my point? They rejected the knowledge of God. The reason why men believed in evolution is not because it made sense. It does not make sense. I've studied some science to some level. Because I'm a pathologist, I'm forced to learn the molecular biology of disease processes and all of that. I learned it knowing the word of God, all right? I have come to understand that except there is a force of death, it's difficult to make a cell go wrong. Now, what am I saying? That the good Lord put so much checks and balances in the human cell that it could not have come by accident. It's not possible. We haven't, with all our years of research and designing, we have not designed any machine as effective as a small cell. None. If we were to stretch out what they call the DNA, all right, of one cell, it runs into a very great distance. Yeah, you fold everything into a nucleus that the eyes cannot see. This thing replicates itself without making mistakes. Hundreds and hundreds of times, we have not done it with all our years of research. You must be a complete idiot to believe that something half as good as that can come by chance. Or you are a God hater. Somebody who makes up his mind that I will not believe in God. He doesn't want me to sleep with my neighbor's wife. I will not believe in him. He does not want me to cheat and get money. I will not believe in it, in him. That's the problem with people. So that's what Paul was explaining. Paul said that they knew God. But verse 25, they consciously exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Are you getting my point? The reason was because they refused to acknowledge him. Therefore, the Bible says in verse 25, 24, that God gave them over to the impurity of their hearts. He gave them over to their lusts. Let me tell you something. The acts of men are founded upon a spiritual tendency. It's not the acts. It's not the actions. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Okay, this is my good example. If Satan gives you money, you can't control how you spend it. Do you hear what I said? You know, there are people who, you know, let me give you an example. A man goes into drug dealing, armed robbery, or 419. You know, a lot of Nigerians that come from South Africa that they call 419 boys. You know, they are not 419 boys. They are armed robbers in South Africa. No, I'm telling you the truth. So you see some of these Nigerians, they come back home. After being armed robbers and cocaine dealers and all of that, they now come and say that they want to go legit. You know they call go legit. I used to be a thief, but I'm not stealing anymore. But the money I made from stealing, I shall now invest it in legitimate business. Listen to me. It is not within your powers to do it. No matter how much you desire it, Paul said, the willingness I found inside me, but the doing of it, the flesh no go agree. If Satan gives you money, you will spend it Satan way. You can't help it. If a man makes money from cult, there's one man I knew once. I didn't know him personally, but I used to hear his story. This guy had money. You know what they call money? Money. Plenty of it. Not, you know. No, I thank God for some of the enlightenments I have in life. I have this. You know, I told you I was believing God, and I'm still believing, and I've received it in my heart. That one day we will receive 12 billion naira to preach this gospel, which is what I preach. You know why? My wife said, 12 billion is plenty. I said, yes. I said, you know what annoyed me? If you see what rogues and thieves and corrupt government officials are doing with money, I said, God is bigger than them. And since I require to do my work effectively, I will ask him for it. You heard me preach on Saturday. Anything you ask, God said, ask me anything. The whole, I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. All I ask for is 12 billion, not to eat, to just to preach gospel. And you think he won't give me? He will. He will. This man has so much money, he's the type that could actually give you billions for the gospel if he was a gospel preacher. Have you ever asked yourself, why are churches always begging for money? I'll tell you, one of the reasons, apart from the fact they don't have the sound doctrine, is that they don't have money. Why is it that all these thieves have not given all their money to correct gospel preaching? Why? I will tell you, because money is spiritually controlled. If Satan gives you money, you will not use it to preach the gospel. Anyway, this man has plenty of money. People were describing that this man was so stingy. Now, when I say stingy, tight fist, like one preacher would say, Araldite, gum the money to his hand. So stingy that if a multi-millionaire those days, if not today, billionaire in Naira, if your car breaks down for road, you are his friend. He doesn't cross his mind to maybe, you know, stay there and help you. Oh, your car breaks down. Okay, mechanic will soon come. All right, bye-bye. And he will drive on. Now, I didn't think much about it when I began to hear about his life. He had about 4 children. Not one of them was normal. Not the same problem. None of them was normal. Not one. Now, when I saw these things around the man, I said, this man didn't get money normally. He got money and plenty of sorrow. Now, why am I saying what I'm saying? I don't know in person, I just heard the story. I said, that is why he's stingy. Spiritual things, eh? That's the way they are. If Satan gives you money, he controls the way you spend it. So the man who enters the call, he did for armed robbery, he wants to now become a legit man. Marry a decent wife, start a decent family. You know the problem? When he has finished, the first son he will have will be the son of the devil himself. The boy will be the one to be directing how the father will spend money. Today he will be in jail. Today we shoot someone. Did you understand my point? No matter what the man tries, Satan says, it's my money. That's why people don't understand about the gospel. He said, when you finish preaching, the person will give life to Christ and bring money to church. A lie. One of two things. One, he either consciously gives Satan back his money. Or two, Satan will take it if he's really committed to God in his heart. I have heard stories of men who really believed. They became broke. They became poor. That's the way it works. It is Satan the Christ. He just come, enter cult, collect $10 billion. Tomorrow you give your life to Christ. All right. I'm waiting. We will serve this God together. As they dance for George, all the demons are dancing. Oh, God. Sometimes when you look at men, why is the man? Is he stupid? It's not a matter of stupidity. There's a spiritual force in him that has given him over to foolishness. I've seen old men, you know. Look, this one, as a matter of fact, I believe it's a narcotic problem. They can't leave small girls alone. The man is 70. He's going to secondary school to chase girls. You should know that Satan gave him money. Get my point. Paul said, we have received what? Grace and apostleship. To command what? Obedience of the faith. In the same manner, when people serve Satan, they receive grace, that is satanic empowerment, and the messengerhood of Satan to go and corrupt people. Believe what I'm saying. That is why. Why do you think Marvin Gaye was broke, busted, and disgusted, and he decided to sing Sexual Healing? Once you sing Sexual Healing, it's very simple now. You become rich. You know why? You have given your body over to Satan as an instrument of unrighteousness. So he pays. Believe what I'm saying, though. It's not a joke. The guy struggles. People say that you think worship of Satan is to go and say, hey, Satan, we worship you. Yes, our cow, our goat, our malu. No. Satan says, you want money? No problem. Can you chase small girls? Sir, with your empowerment, sir. All right, no problem. You know what I want you to do? Once the women are crazy, I can spread unrighteousness. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. So you know what you're going to do? You are going to start designing clothes that normally people can't wear outside. But I'll help you market it. Don't worry. So you say, hey, Versace. All right, fine. They give you a name. Say, which name do you like? I call you Versace. All right, fine. People will come, start walking on catwalk naked. Woo, woo. And people are paying money to buy the clothes. They are paying money to watch. Then Versace becomes a billionaire. It is not just a matter of Satan will worship. He said, promote unrighteousness. I will give you money. This is how these things work. He said, you want money? No problem. You know, the other day, I think I was telling the story here. There's one rock band that Satan told them, change your name, I will make you rich. And the day I was talking with my pastor, when they were showing it, CNN was showing the particular rock group, He said, the pastor said, this guy looks like Satan. I said, him? Let me tell you his story. He doesn't look like Satan. He's a messenger, a direct commissioned messenger of Satan. His name was dictated by the devil on a witchcraft board for them. Pastor Banky, how do you know? Were you there? The man who was his lead guitarist got converted. He was the guy who played Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. He said when he began that series, a demon possessed him to help him play that role throughout. He became a wife beater instantly. You think Satan is a joke? His deliverance was when he gave his life to Christ. He was one that told the story of how their band was making millions. It's not ordinary common eye. I know what I am saying. Paul said the reason why this happened was because they rejected the knowledge of God. So God did what? He gave them over. Listen, no matter how much Pharaoh tried, he couldn't believe in Moses. You think it was a joke? God said, I hardened his heart. God hardened his heart. God took the heart, put it inside a bucket, and poured concrete on top. No matter how much that guy tried, he couldn't. You know why? Because before then, he had rejected God. That's what the Bible calls a sin unto death, of which John commanded that you shouldn't pray for such a one. Well, let me continue my message. Let's study Paul. So Paul said, this is the problem. When they rejected God, God gave them over to degrading passions. Now, in that book that I call Worship and Sex Control, I said there are two kinds of sexual immorality. One of them is what is unnatural. Now, listen, there is a wrong use of that which is natural. Then there is one which is what? Unnatural. Homosexuality is tied to the rejection of God. It is unnatural. You know the problem? Men have become God haters. When men become God haters, those who curse God, God, you start finding unnatural practices amongst them. Are you getting my point? It's different from those who just don't bridle themselves. This is when people become God haters. Oh God. This is what Paul was explaining here. He said, because men rejected God. Now, you know why he went to? I told Paul used to just jump from one topic to the other. He was trying to explain to them that, listen, it is because of this that I want to come and preach the gospel. This is where sin has taken men to. This is where I want to use the power of the gospel to bring them out from. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So he now began to describe what men do when God has been removed from their lives. He said, God gives them over to degrading passions. For their women exchange natural function for that which is unnatural. I was watching CNN the other day, World Untold Stories. I don't know how many of you saw it. Harsh beauty. I said, which kind of harsh beauty? Men, young boys who will go and join a cult somewhere in India, and they will slice off all their male organs and make them women. That's just like that too. And how do they make their living? They dress like women, move around like women, and said they forgotten the name they called them. They make their living from prostitution. I said, this is God giving people over to that which is what? Unnatural. It's a cult. Now, let me tell you, those things are not ordinary eyes. Oh. Satan is alive. Oh. He's there causing problems. Oh. These things are not natural. I've told you before that when a suicide bomber blows somebody, it's not zeal. It's satanic possession. Mm-hmm. Please let me end, Joe, because of time. Paul said, this is the problem. Verse 28, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. They become filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. He said, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. I don't want to begin to talk about all of those vices. He said, they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. I have said something. If you see a nation that legalizes immorality, be afraid of their visa. The age of sexual consent, either in Germany or Netherlands, is 12 years. 12. 12. 12. Netherlands are the first people to legalize mercy killing. One of the first to legalize homosexual marriages. They are European. Once you see those kind of countries, now fear. All this flood that is soaking one state in Mexico, 2/3 of the state is under the water. My brother, it will get to many places. So, the day the flood of Noah came, people thought it was a joke also. All God said was that I won't destroy the whole earth, but portions of it I will see destroyed with flood. God said those who practice them are worthy of death. Not only that, those who take pleasure, who give hearty approval. My Bible says, me, I'm pro-choice. I don't commit abortion, so, but I believe anybody who wants to should go ahead and do it. God said, two of you are the same. I'm not homosexual, but I believe that if that's your natural birth, that's how you're born, why not? It's a free world. God said, two of you, the same. And when a nation makes it that their law says, okay, oh boy, if you take their visa, put expiry date on it by yourself. I will soon come back. Listen, I'm telling you. Now, you know this is the writing of Paul. Paul now began to explain, if you go to chapter 2, I'm going to stop now, that, you see, these things I'm saying, it's not only Gentiles that do them, but also the Jews. Now, because that's how Paul, his progression was. After describing all these problems and how they make people deserving of death, he now began to explain that it's not only the Gentiles that do them, but also the Jew. He now built it up to the point where he said, all have sinned. Are you getting my point? Some of those things you hear, they have reasons. Paul built up there that, listen, all this that I've said is not only Gentiles, even the Jews who claim they have a law. He said, even the Jews who claim they have a law, are they not doing the same thing? He now said, for there is no difference. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, Jew or Gentile. He now explained that even those who claim they have the law, I'm just giving you a foretaste because we'll go, because of time, I want to stop now. And I said, look, listen, even those who claim they know the law, what is it that they are doing? They are also committing the same sins. What was he trying to explain? Whether Jew or Gentile, they are subject to death. All have sinned, and therefore they have fallen short of the glory of God. He said, because the wages of sin is death. And I said, but then the free gift of God in Christ Jesus, are you getting my point? That is, it is both Jews and Gentiles that need it. That's what Paul was trying to explain in Romans. Let me stop here because of time. I didn't even know that I'm taking so much time. All right, let me just stop there. We'll continue from there, from that one next time, all right?